Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So how was your Christmas? Good. Good, good. Hope it was magical. I hope it was filled with promise and hope. I hope you found joy. I hope you found peace. Certainly hope you found love. I hope it left you with a sense of new possibilities. Out with the old, in with the new. The baby has come. Hope is born. But my question for you now, these few days later, because I know how the world works and so do you, is that still alive in you this morning? Does Christmas still live in your beating heart? Does the child still rise up in your spirit? Can you still feel it? Hang on to it. You see, there's a certain historical letdown in the aftermath of Christmas. We all know that. There's all of that hustle and bustle and everything that builds up to it, both on a secular level and on a spiritual level. There's packages to buy, packages to wrap, people to call, invitations to be made, meals to be prepared. And on the other side, there are prayers to be shared. There are scriptures to be read if we are faithful, church services to attend. It's a jam-packed time. Adrenaline flows. People are amped up. And in the aftermath of that, it's all kind of this, I think. Our focus shifts. Joy and excitement that those aspects of Christmas that we carried with us through that season, they begin to struggle for breath, caught in the treacherous undertow of exhausted credit cards and overtaxed checkbooks. But still for now, at least for today, the lights remain. The lights remain out there, and I pray the lights would remain in here, reflecting the glow that reminds us of all that we've experienced, of the real gift that we have been given in the midst of all this other stuff. The prophet Isaiah calls us to this kind of reflection as a source of ongoing inspiration. He calls Israel and us with them to remember. And in remembering the acts of God, to take hope for the acts of God that have yet to come. You see, the light of Israel's miraculous salvation from hard slavery in Egypt had begun to dim under the everyday pressures of life in the world of their day, under the pressures of trying to survive this 40-year wilderness experience. Now, they had been called to remember the Passover annually. That was Moses' direction to them at the first Passover, to remember it annually as a perpetual ordinance. That's Moses' words, so that they might recall who they were and celebrate whose they were. It's an act of memory. Isaiah sparks this memory by recalling Yahweh's gracious deeds and his steadfast loving kindness. Again, that word that we encounter so often in the Old Testament, and every time I have to draw it out again because it's so good. Chesed. Chesed. It's a word that doesn't come into English. We don't have a single word that will replace it. So the best we can do is steadfast loving kindness. Almost always in the Old Testament, that word chesed is used relative to God and what God does for us. Having said that, the prophet then tells us something critical. Tells Israel that their salvation was not just business as usual for God, at least not business as usual for a distant God, but was personal for a God who was imminent, a God who was here. Listen to what he says in verse 9. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. These are the acts of a loving father. He lifted them up and he carried them. These are the acts of a God who loves us deeply and dearly. A God who is indeed personal with us. A God who tells us in these texts, you, my beloved, you are special. You're special to me. Now, if you think about it, this is simply an early version of our own Christmas story, because it's the same. On that unparalleled night, you see, God became personal to us in the form of a human baby who was God. He entered our lives individually and corporately. This was a baby who came to renew God's offer from the Old Testament of hope and freedom to all the people. If you listen carefully to that text, that's what Isaiah says. He doesn't say to Israel, he says to all the people. A baby who came to remind us that we, you and me, are special to God, and that that's the heart of the message of Christmas. Let that sink in. You're not just another worshiper. You're not just another piece of creation. You're special. This is the God who formed you in the womb, who knew you before you were born, and who came here as an infant to save you and to give you hope. So this morning, let's steal a page from Isaiah. Let's not let Christmas slip away, at least not yet. Let's continue to reflect on what really transpired amidst the lights and the packages and the furor and the parties. Let's cling to John's promise that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Max Lucado guides us as we look back and look forward. Let me share a piece with you that he's written that I think is particularly meaningful in this season, in the days after Christmas. It's Christmas night, he says. The midnight hour has chimed and I should be asleep, but I'm awake. I'm kept awake by one stunning thought. The world was different this week. I was temporarily transformed. The magical dust of Christmas glittered on the cheeks of humanity ever so briefly, reminding us of what is worth having and what we were intended to be. We forgot our compulsion with winning, wooing, and warring. We put away our ladders and ledgers. We hung up our stopwatches and weapons. We stepped off our racetracks and roller coasters and looked outward toward the Star of Bethlehem. It's the season to be jolly because more than at any other time, we think of him. More than in any other season, his name is on our lips. And the result? The result? For a few precious hours, our heavenly yearnings intermesh and we become a chorus. A ragtag chorus, indeed, of longshoremen, Boston lawyers, illegal immigrants, housewives, and 1,000 other peculiar persons who are banking that Bethlehem's mystery is in reality a reality. Come and behold him. Come and behold him, we sing, stirring even the sleepiest of shepherds and pointing them toward the Christ child. For a few precious hours he is beheld, Christ the Lord. Those who pass the year without seeing him suddenly see him. People who have been accustomed to using his name in vain pause to use it in praise. Eyes now free of the blinders of self marvel at his majesty. All of a sudden he's everywhere. In the grin of the policeman as he drives the paddy wagon full of presents to the orphanage. In the twinkle in the eyes of the Taiwanese waiter as he tells of his upcoming Christmas trip to see his children. In the emotion of the father who is too thankful to finish the dinner table prayer. He's in the tears of the mother as she welcomes home her son from overseas. He's in the heart of the man who spent Christmas morning on Skid Row giving away cold bologna sandwiches and warm wishes. And he's in the solemn silence of the crowd of shopping mall shoppers as the elementary school chorus sings, "Away in a Manger." Emmanuel, Emmanuel, he is with us. God came near. It's Christmas night. In a few hours, the cleanup will begin. Lights will come down. Trees will be thrown out. Size 37 will be exchanged for size 40. Eggnog will be on sale for half price. Soon life will be normal again. December's generosity will become January's payments, and the magic will begin to fade. But for the moment, the magic is still in the air. Maybe that's why I'm still awake. I want to savor the Spirit just a bit more. I want to pray that those who beheld him today will look for him next August. And I can't help but linger on one fanciful thought. If he can do so much with such timid prayers lamely offered in December, how much more could he do if we thought of him every day? So writes Max Lucado. So let me wrap this up for you. Let me wrap this up so we can get on with our memories and hopes. Let's not let the routine rhythms of these passing days steal the warmth and hope that we felt on Christmas Eve. Let's savor that memory of what God did for us on that starlit night. And as we reflect on Christmas, let's remember that it's our calling to be those lights that still remain, to become reflections of Christmas's promise to a world that knows only darkness. Amen.